Senator Isaacson, welcome and thanks for being with us.
Glad to be with you, Dennis.
The Affordable Care Act repeal bill is still in the works. Have you seen enough yet to know whether you'll vote yes or no?
I have asked the governor's office to consult back with our office on what the state's position is to make sure that we're consistent with what the state's interest is, because as you know, this will be a block grant program where the states will really be running the program and the feds funding it. That's something where you want to buy in by the state, and I want to make sure I know where the state's position is.
But is this something that any member of Congress, not just yourself, should vote on just based on what it does for their state, because it's going to affect everybody?
Well, you know, Dennis, the press always wants you to answer one question at a time on an issue that's big and pervasive, and this is big and pervasive. You're very insightful to ask that, because what the state says is not the only thing that will make the determination on what I finally do. There are a lot of implications. You start talking about health care. It's 19% of our economy. It's the number one concern of most of the American people. I want to try and do what's right for the people I represent in Georgia, but I'm also going to try and be solicitous of getting the input from those people who are going to help deal with whatever the result of this legislation is.
One big concern has been, of course, pre-existing conditions, whether people might lose coverage or be denied coverage that they might now have under the ACA. Have you seen enough of this bill to give any assurance that people would not lose coverage?
I have, and I'm assured that's the case.
There are some folks who say no. They look at the same facts and say no, it would be denied coverage. There's actually been a whole lot of debate about that. What about the bill gives you assurance that people would be protected there?
I can read. I understand what words mean, and I understand when somebody's equivocating and when they're not, and this is a solid, written in such a way that it's not quivering or it's not quelling on the corners. Pre-existing condition will be covered under this law, period.
If states are allowed to have waivers, though, some folks are wondering whether they could opt out of expensive coverage like pre-existing conditions or perhaps others like mental health coverage.
Well, I'm sure we could sit here all day long and come up with some what-if that hypothetically might happen somewhere if a state had authority to do something that might cause that to be different, but I don't know of any state that would do that. This is the most important issue in terms of health care. It's the number one public concern. It's the number one concern of Republicans, Democrats, and independents. And so I am confident that that's not going to be abused and that pre-existing conditions will be covered in all cases.
If the net here, though, is that people lose coverage because of premium increases or because of the way states structure their programs, won't that put an even bigger strain, if it happens here in Georgia, on the hospitals that are struggling already because they have so many patients who get uncompensated care?
Well, Obamacare proved conclusively that when just because you have health insurance available to everybody, not everybody's going to get it or take it or be able to afford it or pay for it, and you're going to always need your charity hospitals and those who take care of the indigent and those who are not covered. That's the case today, and that'll be the case in the future.
But do you know whether that bill might make this situation worse or better?
I would think it would make the situation better, and because it would be closest, managed closest to home by the state. That would be my belief.
One of the critiques of this process has been that it's coming together so quickly, just as previous attempts have. There will be few, if any, public hearings on it. The vote will happen very quickly. It hasn't been scored by the Congressional Budget Office. You and many others have said, look, we need to get back to regular order in a bill that could affect, as you mentioned, one-sixth of the economy. Isn't this anything but regular order?
It's been anything but regular order from the beginning. That's the way it was concocted under the Obama administration, and that's the way we're ending up ultimately dealing with it in the Trump administration today in Congress.
But since you were among the many critics of how Obamacare was put together, why go through the same process?
I'm one of 100. I'm not the one of the 100. And so I have to end up going along with whatever the process ends up being. And I'm going to be a part of it because I represent the state of Georgia and the people of the state. And I want to make sure their voice is heard in Washington.
So what would your conditions be for a yes vote?
My conditions will be what they always are, that it's the best vote I can cast for the people of Georgia on that particular issue at that particular time.
Why go ahead with a bill that pretty much ended the efforts by Senator Alexander and Senator Murray to put together a bipartisan approach to this?
Well, there are always reasons that disappoint you. I'm a member of the HELP Committee. Lamar and Patty are good friends of mine. I've been working with them. I wish we could have come up with it. There are lots of contributing factors to why we did not, but we did not, and that's the hand I've been dealt, so the hand is the hand I'll have to play.
This bill would not only restructure Medicaid, it would pretty much end it as we know it, if my understanding is correct. Now, Medicaid existed long before the Affordable Care Act. Why do such a wholesale change to an existing system when you're trying to repair or change some of the problems with the ACA?
Well, as you know, Medicaid is a joint program between the federal government and the states. The states regulate, the states run it. The federal government funds it and audits the handling of it to make sure the money is being properly handled. So in a way, it's a logical move if you're moving away from a government central government plan to move it to a joint venture between the states and the federal government, where the states run it closest to the patients and the people and the facilities, and the government, the federal government regulates it to make sure you're doing it right. So it's not an inconsistent thing at all. I mean, Medicaid has been a good program, and we've learned a lot in Medicaid that's helped us in running Medicare. So I don't see anything wrong with it.
Some states, and Massachusetts, which has a Republican governor, is one of them. Governor Charlie Baker is very concerned about the funding formula here, that while it may, in the short run, benefit states like Georgia, it would really impact high-cost states like Massachusetts. And Medicaid isn't set up that way currently. Is that one of the concerns that you would have in looking at this legislation?
We had him testify before the HELP Committee. We've heard that the state of California, the state of Massachusetts, and some of the others that are the high-cost states in the country have serious concerns, and we have to address that.
But at this point on health care, you are neither a yes nor a no at this point. Is that right?
That's correct, because it'd be just, I mean, I can give you an answer like that short of the final decision being made, but we're still negotiating things in the legislation. We're still trying to leverage our vote and our position to move it in the direction we'd like to move it. So the last thing you want to be is somebody that you're put in the corner because they posted on the news or on an interview somewhere what you're going to do and not do. I'm going to talk to our governor. I'm going to talk to our state. I'm going to talk to people I represent. I'm going to follow the debate as we go through a votorama, which will go all night long, probably, if we get this thing through cloture, and then make the final decision based on the final legislation I have before me.
Is there time to make, though, a thoughtful, knowledgeable decision?
If you're a good, quick thinker, there is.
On another subject, Equifax, of course, it's based here in Georgia, a breach affecting some 143 million Americans. You have said Equifax has had some explaining to do. So is the part that you want to hear about the most the breach itself, or whether consumers would have recourse or protection under the law, or perhaps the fact that some Equifax executives sold off a lot of stock before that breach became public?
Dennis, this is a huge issue, and I am concerned deeply about what happened with Equifax, how it happened, how we respond to it, and how we make sure it never happens again. It is really a tragedy. They're a great company and have been a great Georgia company for a long time, but being a great company means you do great things under difficult times. They've created a very difficult time for the American people. We are a country that depends on cyber technologies and cybersecurity to do our business, do our health care, communicate with each other on a daily basis, and entertain ourselves on television. So cybersecurity is the number one issue that I spend time on. And I'm the co-chairman of the Transaction Caucus in the Senate today, which follows banking transaction processing in cyberspace and things of that nature. We have got to make sure that the people of America are protected and that they can be assured or feel comfortable that when their information goes through a system the government's responsible for, ultimately like CyberNet and the Internet, that it's safe and it's secure. Just to let you know how closely I feel about this, in July, my Social Security number got breached. I've got my credit frozen now, which I would recommend anybody who finds out Equifax, their information on Equifax became breached because of this hack, they would freeze theirs as well. There are things you can do to protect yourself, but you don't really want to have to do that. You want to make sure it's done on a daily basis. So it's unfortunate that it happened. Equifax has to be held accountable. It's going to be a thorough investigation at the state level by the Attorney General, at the federal level by the Attorney General, and with the appropriate authorities in the United States government. And I can assure you that Equifax will be held accountable.
Are you satisfied at all with their response so far?
Well, I think that, as I understand it, at least the response that I'm familiar with at the outset was a release of a video and a written statement regarding the breach. I have not been in the state because I've been in Washington doing my jobs. I can't say I have seen how they have responded in the state, but it ought to be all hands on deck, protect Americans and Georgians' credit and their credit information, and Equifax has to do that. I'm also concerned, quite frankly, with the proximity of sales of stock by executives and the release of the information on the transaction. And I'm glad that the SEC is looking into that because that could very possibly be a breach of law.
Given your position looking at technology and cybersecurity, what do you think should be done by Equifax and the other credit bureaus to secure people's information?
Well, first of all, Equifax has got to make sure that everybody whose information was breached is held harmless. They have no cost, and they have protection to keep the fact that that information got public at some time in the future affecting them. So they need to be doing that on a day. And I don't know how many times I've had my information partially or totally breached, but it's been a number of times. I've got about 3 or 4 free protection packages for a year or two because it happened, because companies supplied that. I'm sure Equifax will do the same thing, but they need to make sure there's no harm done to any citizen who, unbeknownst to them, had their information breached.
But this came to light just as Equifax and the other major credit bureaus were lobbying Congress for less regulation. Should Congress even consider that at this point?
There's only one thing Congress needs to consider right now, and that is how this breach happened, what we do to correct it, and how we prevent it in the future. Period. End of sentence. It may require more regulation or a different type of regulation.
In what way do you think? Are there any...
Well, Dennis, if I was smart enough to know that, we wouldn't need anybody doing it. They'd just turn it all over to me. I don't know exactly what to do, but I know that what we need to do is make sure that whatever needs to be done is done, because what they did before was not good enough to protect 143 million American families' information.
Equifax has had its own political action committee since 1982, and it contributes to lots of people's campaigns, yours among them, Congressman Lewis among them. What would you say to people who look at that and say, okay, when it comes to regulating and providing some oversight for companies involved in things like the breach, there is a conflict, or at least the appearance of a conflict of interest there?
I don't even know how to respond to that statement. I don't know of any conflict of interest between a political contribution made to a campaign and a breach of information. Those are limited and regulated by the government, and those contributions are minimal and obscure compared to the billions of dollars that would be affected by a breach. So I don't draw any conclusion at all, and anybody that did would be looking for a headline story, not for the facts.
How quickly do you want to see congressional hearings, and do you think that the investigations by enforcement agencies, say attorneys general, for instance, or federal law enforcement agencies should come first?
Well, I think the investigations will be imminent and immediate, and they should be, and they should be thorough, and we should find out what happened and get all the facts in and then hold the people responsible accountable.
Do you think there was any criminal wrongdoing here, or do you suspect that there was any criminal wrongdoing here?
I don't suspect that would be the case, but I don't take it at face value that it isn't. I think you have to investigate to make sure it wasn't.
Senator Johnny Isaacson, Senator, thank you so much for giving us this time. We appreciate it.
Always good, Dennis. Good to talk to you.